Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Fraudcast, where we will be discussing business fraud. I'm your host, Dawn Brolin, a certified public accountant and certified fraud examiner dedicated to the fight against business fraud. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Weekly Fraudcast. And today, the second episode of our six-part series with Stephen King of Growth Force, we're excited today to talk again about the CEO's Guide to Reducing Fraud, published by Growth Force. And what we're going to talk about today is a very exciting topic that, you know, why are we still talking about payroll fraud, but it's still out there? And as a matter of fact, I know Stephen has some stories, but in case someone missed the first episode or any of the other episodes, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself again, Steve?
Sure. Growth Force is a client accounting services firm. So we, in addition to doing the traditional compliance work of billing and collections and bill payment, the basic blocking and tackling, we do management accounting, which focuses on helping reduce risk, increase profits, and improve cash flow. So I'm real excited about connecting today, because we partner with a lot of CPAs who don't have, they have a single bookkeeper working on an account, and they get to a client that's, you know, $2-3 million in revenue, and you start realizing you need a team. It's not necessarily cost effective to build up that whole team for one or two big clients. And we are able to come in on an a la carte basis and help be a great resource to help that CPA be a rock star.
That's awesome. And I know there are a lot of other people out there doing similar things. And really, I think more than anything, and my biggest shouts for the last, I would say about year and a half, is around protecting the clients from fraud, and certainly looking at ourselves. Let's not forget, we as practitioners have that same risk as a business owner, as any other business owner. So the topic of fraud and implementing internal controls and implementing technology to solve cost effectively sometimes those internal controls. And so today we're going to talk about payroll fraud, which, again, on the CEO's Guide to Reducing Fraud, we refer to page 21 because we want to understand what is payroll fraud. I know for the most part, we think we know it is what it is, but Stephen, I want you to give us kind of a best explanation of payroll fraud.
It's pretty basic. It's when somebody that you trust submits a fake hours or overtime or sets up a ghost employee and pockets the cash. And you think you're paying a legitimate person, or you're paying you think you're paying your payroll taxes. Instead of writing a check to the IRS, the employee sticks it in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we did this ebook, The CEO's Guide to Reducing Fraud, based on the report to the nations on occupational fraud from the ACFE. And the dollar amounts on payroll are really big. It's like an average of $90,000.
Yeah. And of course, as we very well know, and I know you're going to tell us a story about a real life experience, but the issues are that when this type of fraud happens, it's actually a double crush. It's kind of like a two-punch hit for these business owners. Number one, they've been stolen from, and let's use your $90,000 example.
Yep.
We've lost 90 grand, and now here comes the IRS walking down the street. Hey, we need that 90 grand. Yeah, but it was stolen from me. Yeah, but you're responsible for it. So now we've got a $180,000 problem, not a $90,000. So why don't you give us one of your stories? Because I always love Steve's stories. They're good stuff.
There's so many of them. The one that destroyed a company, literally destroyed a company, was the trusted bookkeeper. It was a medical billing company. So, you know, it was run by a CPA. So you talk about the firm practice having some risk. This story is actually about a medical billing company who they had one person who owned the account. They did everything. And that's how his business was structured. His big mistake was she also opened the mail, because what happened was she was pocketing the payroll taxes for one of their clients. We're talking big dollars, you know, a couple of $100,000 that the CEO of a billing company thinks is going to the IRS. And it wasn't until the IRS showed up at his door with a padlock and was ready to shut them down, did he even realize he had a problem? And I talked to him about it. I was like, oh, what happened? How did this happen? He goes, my mistake was I let her open the mail. because when the IRS starts sending you letters, you get, you know, it takes a month for the first letter to show up and it says your payroll taxes are late. You got to do this, you know, in 30 days. Then 30 days later, you get a letter that's got some red writing on the inside, you know, note warning, you are in violation.
Yeah.
And then you know you got a problem. And then 30 days later, there's red lettering on the outside of the envelope that says important notice of, you know, malfeasance inside, right? Whatever the IRS has. Big, big red lettering. And so she, once the third letter showed up, she took off with $385,000 that the CEO had to find to cover for the client. And then what was really scary was, about 9 months later, she did it again at another company.
Oh my goodness.
Because she took off and, you know, it was just a really weird coincidence that she went to one of our clients in Houston. She left a company that was in our building that next door to us, because it's too expensive to sue somebody, to prove it, to chase them down.
Oh, it's bad. And, you know, interestingly enough about that, the, you know, the fact that they're not opening up the mail and that simple segregation of duties there. But I think you said that the bookkeeper was an outsource from a CPA. Is that correct?
No, it was a CPA who had set up a billing company, right? For medical billing. So he had 25 employees doing billing and collections for doctor's offices here in Houston. And so he had a trusted bookkeeper of his own that he had do everything.
Right. That's just crazy. And that's the risk. And understanding why you know, what for your firm as a client accounting services allows those smaller businesses that can't afford, like you said, to build an internal team. Every business needs a team. Doesn't mean it has to be internal.
Right.
It just has to be. And that could be outsourcing, implementing those internal controls through some kind of a consulting company like yourselves. And so, you know, it's just, you feel like it's something that can be resolved. So, and actually even in saying that, we can refer to page 29 of the CEO's guide to reducing fraud to talk about what do we do about minimizing that risk, Steve?
Well, if you're processing the payroll, clearly they should not open the mail, right? Have the receptionist open the mail and scan everything. They shouldn't also not have the ability to adjust the payroll records. You know, I got another story. This is my favorite story, Dawn. It's because of the sheer ingenuity. This was an interior designer in New Jersey who had a bookkeeper who did everything. Mm-hmm. And he wore all the hats, right? He was the billing, collections, payroll, bank reconciliations, just what you would expect of that one trusted person. But the red flag was he insisted on doing the payroll himself. And I don't know about you, but I find like if I go to an ADP or a Paychex, their cost to me is cheaper than my cost to do the work themselves because they make so much money on the float.
Yeah.
And so if I see a client who's a bookkeeper insisting on doing the payroll, that's a red flag.
Red flag.
Yeah, because it, you know, you have to separate these duties. And what this bookkeeper did was they put an extra $10,000 a month into the federal tax deposit.
Oh.
And because withholding taxes, they're not 7.65% times your revenue. It includes that FICA number plus whatever the employee withhold, and that depends on are they single, are they married, is it zero exemptions, 99 exemptions. That amount is just subject to change without any logic. So what they did was, at the end of the year, they took that extra payroll tax deposits, they credited it to themselves on their W-2, and they got a $120,000 tax refund on their personal tax return.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it escalates and turns into something so much bigger.
Yep.
That they are not, you know, that people are not really realizing. And, you know, the business owner, yes, is a trusting in Mary, who's been his bookkeeper for 30 years. But I will tell you from my perspective, and I spoke at Abacus Maximus this past summer. And, you know, one of the biggest things was, why do we even have risk of payroll taxes being stolen? Outsource payroll to a full service. I mean, we recommend ADP because we have a great relationship with them. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, why would anyone do payroll internally? I don't even do it myself.
I don't either. We recommend Insperity because I want to make sure that I have to sign any payroll tax change. So if you use ADP or Insperity or any of them,
right,
make sure that you require your signature on every single payroll tax change.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really, that's a great tip, Steve, because we see so many times, and oh my goodness, we could talk about this for days, but we're seeing major issues with without KBA authorized signatures, where people are rogue signing, like, oh no, just sign that for me. You just can be me. Business owners' identity, business identity theft, not just individual identity theft, but the signing of contracts that you may not be aware of because you don't have a system in place to make sure. So what you're saying with regards to payroll, requiring your signature is critical in the defense and the protection and minimizing that risk of fraud.
Yeah, you got to have this separation of duties. You know, that signature is the approval. Right? Every transaction needs to be separated into three things. The person who enters the transaction, the person who approves and authorizes the transaction, and the person who reconciles the asset account, the bank account, the payroll account, or the, you know, and so in this particular example, you got to make sure that you do not let the person who's processing payroll also have the right to edit the year-to-date payroll change inside QuickBooks.
Right.
How you'll never find that payroll tax deposit fraud because the net paycheck doesn't change.
Yep.
You know, you look at your total payroll expenses and it's just buried as an additional liability. You know, that's not, there's no formula to calculate that amount. So that's how you separate those duties. But you shouldn't do it yourself. Like you said, you outsource payroll.
Get it outsourced. Well, this has been a great episode, Steve, and I'm excited as this is part of a 6-part series, and this is part two. So very exciting. Episode one was around cash skimming, so if you didn't catch that, you might want to go back and take a listen to that one. It's always exciting. Steve always has really great stories, and I love to hear them. I feel like I love Cops, the show Cops. I wish we could do like fraud. We would have like, they follow us around when we detect fraud and stuff like that.
We need a
maybe
theme
that's something we could do in the future. But anything else coming up with Growth Force that we want to be aware of or refer to your resource center or anything like that?
Yeah, we've got an on-demand webinar on for the CEO's Guide to Reducing Fraud that launches on January 23rd. So that'll be on our resources section of our website, growthforce.com. We also have the CEO's Guide to Reducing Fraud, the ebook, which talks about how businesses get ripped off, what you can do about it, and really how to set up a whole system of internal controls. So, you know, of course, that's another area too to talk. You can see our affiliates page where we talk about how our use CPAs and service companies can use our a la carte menu of services to just have us do the things that you can't do if you only have one person doing it all.
Exactly. That's awesome. Yes. And what a great resource for people, both accounting professionals and small businesses themselves who can reach out to you guys. But again, thank you so much for coming on, Steve. We will look forward to the third episode that we're going to talk about, which is some check tampering. So we're going to be excited about talking about that in the next episode. So stay tuned. You know, see on the landing page here of this episode, links to the CEO's guide, to the Resource Center of Growth Force, and a little bit about Steve too. Going to have a little bit of something about him on there. So just check it out and be ready because we're coming with check tampering in the next episode. Thanks so much again, and we will talk to you next time. Thanks for joining us on the Weekly Fraudcast. Visit us at fightagainstfraud.com to learn more about how you can join the fight against business fraud. Follow me on Twitter @DawnBrolin, and we look forward to hearing from you next week.